All right, if you'll take your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew, chapter 24. And I want to read a few verses that were spoken by the Lord Jesus about the tribulation period. And then I'm going to show you something. And then we'll come back to this in just a little bit. All right, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, beginning, please, in verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now listen very carefully. Then, all right, that's during the tribulation. Everybody see that? Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is, what's the next word? Christ. Now, it doesn't say, lo, if any man say unto you, lo, here is a Christ. No, it's Christ. Here is Jesus, if you will. Lo, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, in other words, there is Christ, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. All right, let's pray. Our Father, again, we ask your richest blessings to be upon the Word of God. And Father, I pray that you will just open our understanding now to what we're about to hear. And Lord, bless it to your honor, to your glory. And Lord, help us to, as a result of what we hear tonight, to be more discerning. And Lord, to have more faith in the promises of your eternal word. Bless now, Lord. We need your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. When speaking of the coming tribulation period, the Lord Jesus warned that during the tribulation, when the world was, verse 21, going through great tribulation such as had never before been seen by man, the Jews, that the Jews should not be deceived when word comes that Christ, that word Christ, you're familiar with it. Christos is the Messiah, the Anointed One. All right. So Jesus is saying that they should not be deceived whenever someone comes with word that the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, was in the desert, and that if they so desired, they could go and see him. Now, remember the timing. We're talking about the tribulation period here. And the Lord Jesus says and warns that when they are told that the Christ could be seen, that he was there, don't believe it. All right. Now, does everybody understand that? I'm emphasizing this for a reason. This is the Lord Jesus saying to the Jews, when the tribulation comes and word comes to you, the Jews, that Christ is in the desert, don't believe it. Don't go out there. Don't fall for it. When they tell you, when word comes to you that Christ is in the chamber, is in the secret chambers, don't believe it. Don't fall for it. Don't be drawn in and believe what is being said. So Jesus warned that false Christ would arise and be able to do miraculous signs that would be used to deceive a multitude of people. Now, on that foundation, listen very carefully. I have made much over the last several months of the fact that the Bible presents a very specific eschatology. Now you say eschatology, there's one in big old fancy words. Yes, it is, but don't let it throw you. Eschatology is simply the study of future things. All right, ology, the study of, and eschatos, future things. So the Bible presents a very specific eschatology. If you have ever taken a Bible doctrines course in college, you have the doctrines of Scripture divided up, and you study each one of them individually. And there is the doctrine of soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. There's theology, which is the doctrine of God. There's bibliology, the study of the Bible and the inspiration of Scriptures. So there's all these ologies that are the foundation of which our faith has been established. And eschatology is one of those foundations. Bible eschatology, I spent one Sunday night and a Wednesday night and another Sunday night back in April, taking you back to Genesis and showing you that beginning in the book of Genesis and then coming all the way through the Bible, you find this eschatology. God does not hide it from us. God tells us what is going to happen. And he did so way back in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam first sinned against God and plunged the human race into sin. And when that happened, God promised Adam that he was going to send a redeemer. And in Genesis 3:15, that all-important verse that promises that God was going to send the redeemer to pay for our sin. But I pointed out to you that in that verse, there are two comings of Christ that are mentioned. The first one was as our Redeemer, and then the second one is at His return. All right, so two comings of Christ. And that promise was given all through the Bible. The Lord was going to come to this earth twice. The first time happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on Calvary's cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and resurrected on the third day according to Scripture. So all the promises that had to do with His first coming in the Old Testament, all of them came true exactly as they were foretold. And now you have all these other promises and prophecies about His second coming. Now, if all the promises and prophecies about the first coming came true exactly as they were written, it only stands to reason that all the promises and prophecies about his second coming are also going to come true. He is coming again. And that's Bible eschatology. The fact that the Bible tells us about the Lord's return. Now, the amazing thing is that Islam also has an eschatology. It has a very thorough eschatology. Now, Hinduism does not. Buddhism does not. Taoism does not. And all the other isms do not. But Islam does. It has a very clear eschatology. And I want you to know, folks, that 1.5 billion people in the Middle East and in Southern Asia and in Northern Africa and in Indonesia and in Malaysia and in Dearborn, Michigan, believe that eschatology with every fiber of their being. Just as you and I read the Bible and believe biblical eschatology, 1.5 billion plus Muslims believe in Islamic eschatology. Now, I want you to know that this eschatology is very precise. It's very clear, and it is taught almost every Saturday in every mosque in the world. They are preaching this regularly. They preach the coming of their Messiah. It is not just something that a few radicals believe, regardless of what you're hearing on the television set. It is something that they all believe, that eschatology, they all believe it. Now, somebody asked me last week, said, you know, I guess you missed where I talked about this when you asked me this, but I know that we're not all always here every service. But someone asked me, why are there a couple of different kinds of Muslims? Well, let me ask you, why are there so many different labeled Christians? I'll tell you why. It's because we don't all agree with each other on the interpretation of our manual. And the reason that there are a few different groups of Muslims is because they don't agree on some of the interpretation. But there's one thing they all agree on, and that's their eschatology. It is a big item in the quote-unquote church, Christian church. It is a big matter of division. And, you know, you remember I went through all the pre-tribulation and mid-tribulation and post-tribulation and the tribulation and the pre-millennial and the post and pre and all that stuff. We have in Christianity we have you know, taken all this doctrine and we tried to break it down, and it's become a major source of division simply because we don't believe the Word of God when it says that Jesus is coming again. And we come up with our own theology, so to speak, on the matter. Well, you can be assured that there is no division in Islam about the fact that it has an eschatology and what they believe that eschatology teaches. Now, listen very carefully. If you took biblical eschatology and you laid it right here, You got biblical eschatology laying right here. And then you take Islamic eschatology and you lay it right here. The amazing thing is, you can take this biblical eschatology and lay it right over top of the Islamic eschatology, and it's a perfect fit. Now, the interpretation is a little different, but the main characters, perfect fit. The names change, but it's a perfect fit, character to character. The timeline fits to a T. We are familiar with the 7 years of tribulation. Islam has a 7 year end times. I mean, it's amazing how it all fits. And that just amplifies what I have said to you at least a dozen times since we started this study. Islam is nothing more than Christianity flipped upside down. That's all it is. It's just Christianity flipped upside down. Now, after the rapture of the church, our Bible tells us that the Antichrist will emerge onto the scene. Islam teaches that in the last days, the 12th Imam, who is named in their doctrine, the Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I, the Mahdi. Islam teaches that in the last days, the 12th Imam, the Mahdi, will rise up to lead the great jihad that will conquer the world for Islam. But Islamic texts also teach, as one of its major signs, the return of Jesus to this earth. Now, you remember 2 weeks ago we talked about how in Islamic eschatology there are major signs and there are minor signs. All right, now one of their major signs is this Mahdi character. Now, you got biblical eschatology here. You got Islamic eschatology here. You take this one and lay it over this one, perfect match. The only thing it changes are the names and the intents. Over here, the Bible says that there's going to be an Antichrist that will rise up after the rapture. Over here, it says that the 12th Imam is going to rise up. Over here, the Mahdi, or the Antichrist, is the bad guy. Over here, the Antichrist, the Mahdi, is the good guy. All right? But not only that, over here, it talks about a second beast that rises up, and the Bible calls him a false prophet. May I remind you that Islam does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He was just a prophet. And they call him Prophet Jesus all the way through the Quran. Now, over here in the Bible, there is the Antichrist and there is the false prophet. Over here, there is the Messiah, the 12th Imam, and there is Jesus. They literally believe that Jesus, it's not this one. This one is the real Jesus. But when the false prophet comes, which is what the Bible says he is, they're going to call him Jesus, and they'll believe that it is Jesus. They believe he's coming back. Islamic texts teach as one of the major signs the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Now, I'll explain to you in just a minute how they believe this. But, you know, unsuspecting Christians hear that Muslims believe Jesus is coming back, and they get all excited at the prospect prospects that Muslims are looking for and longing for Christ to return to the earth. Yeah, Muslims are looking for and longing for Jesus to come to the earth, but it's not our Jesus that they're expecting to come. So before you get all excited about it, you need to know what Islam believes Jesus will do once he arrives. For you see, what Muslims believe about Jesus coming and what the Bible teaches about the subject are drastically different. What the Bible says about the Lord Jesus and what we believe is completely different than what Islam teaches about the Lord Jesus. Now, what do Muslims say about Jesus? Well, Islam has a lot to say about Jesus in the Quran and in the Hadiths and in their prophecies and in their sacred commentaries. You have a lot to say about Jesus. First, their Jesus is not the Bible's Jesus. Now, just plain and simple. I don't know how to say it any simpler than that. But their Jesus is not the Bible's Jesus. Islam does not believe in Jesus as he is presented in the Bible. For example, they do not believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. They do not believe that. They do not believe that he was deity, that he was God in the flesh. They say that he was a prophet. He was a good man, but they do not believe that he was God incarnate. They do not believe that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of mankind. As a matter of fact, the Quran very specifically denies that Jesus was crucified and died on the cross. They believe that when they took him to the cross in Jerusalem, that Allah miraculously came and rescued him just before he died. That's right. I told you it's the Bible upside down. And after he rescued him from death, Jesus ascended into heaven alive in a similar fashion as Elijah being translated to heaven, or Enoch being translated to heaven, or, listen to me, Muhammad being translated to heaven. So it was Enoch first, Elijah second, then Jesus, then Muhammad. So in Islam, four have been translated to heaven. So Jesus ascended, just like Elijah, just like Enoch. And since then, Muslims believe and teach that Jesus has remained in heaven with Allah and is just patiently waiting for the end times and his opportunity to return to the earth to finish his ministry and complete his life. So to the Muslim mind, Jesus was not in any way a savior, but just another prophet in a long line of prophets that Allah has sent to the earth. Biblical eschatology has Christ coming to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. We've studied that. We've looked at that thoroughly. We know that's what the Bible teaches. We know the Bible teaches the rapture of the church is the next thing to happen. Then the ruin, the 7 years of tribulation. Then the return when Jesus comes back with the saints of God, defeats the armies of the Antichrist, and then the reign, rapture, ruin, return, reign, 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And then the restoration, new heaven and new earth. So five R's, rapture, ruin, return, reign, restoration. Simplified eschatology for you, biblical eschatology. We know that the Bible teaches that Christ is coming back at his return to fulfill all the promises in the Bible that began when God promised Abraham that he would and his seed would occupy that land. From the Euphrates all the way down to the Nile. Amen. They have never, even under Solomon, never had that much of the Middle East. But the Lord's going to come back and that promise will be fulfilled. By restoring Israel to the land and ruling in Jerusalem, the Bible, biblical eschatology, has Jesus sitting upon the throne of David and ruling the entire world in righteousness. Islam does not believe that. That's biblical eschatology. Islam flips it and spins it an entirely different direction. The Bible tells us that Christ will defeat the Antichrist and deliver his faithful followers from the ongoing persecution that will be heaped upon them during the tribulation by the Antichrist. But that's not even close to how Islam portrays the Lord Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, what do they say? All right, get ready for this. You're not going to believe it. Islam teaches that Jesus is returning, but he comes back as a radical Muslim. As a terrorist, if you will. I've already mentioned in a couple of previous messages that the writings of Islam teach that Jesus will come back to a mosque in Damascus. Just as the Mahdi has the armies of jihad preparing to go to war. So they're in Damascus, and the Mahdi is getting ready to address the troops. This is what their eschatology teaches. It's in their hadiths. And all of a sudden, out of the sky, holding on to the wings of two angels, the Lord Jesus descends, and everybody there is watching as he comes out of the sky, holding onto the wings of two angels, and he lands on the earth. And when he does, great beads of sweat are dripping from his face. And the Mahdi is so pleased, he asks him if he will lead in prayer before the troops attack in jihad. And Jesus is then supposed to refuse to pray, but instead will walk around the Mahdi and get down on his knees behind him. A sign of submission. Don't forget, Islam means to submit. And a Muslim means I have submitted. And so he will bow behind the Mahdi, decline the invitation, and bow down behind him, and then offer his prayer for the troops. And every Muslim believes that this is Jesus making a statement that he is inferior in rank to the Mahdi. They all believe that. That's what they're taught. So, biblical eschatology teaches that when Jesus comes back, he comes back as a radical Muslim. Next, they believe that not only will he be a radical Muslim, but he will be a faithful Muslim in all things. Now, I'm pretty sure that the Bible goes to great lengths to make sure we all understand that our Savior was a Jew. Pretty sure about that. Well, they say he's going to be a faithful Muslim. And in order to be a faithful Muslim, you have to do a couple things. First of all, you have to believe in the declaration, there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. You have to believe that. You have to say it. You have to fast during Ramadan. You have to tithe. You have to pray five times a day facing towards Mecca. And then you have to visit the black stone, the Kaaba, in a pilgrimage after Ramadan called the Hajj. Muhammad said clearly that Jesus will tread his path on the way to the Hajj. Muhammad said this. It's in the Hadith that Jesus will tread his path on the way to the Hajj. Now that Hajj is an annual event that takes place in Mecca once a year around that black stone that we talked about last week. And millions of Muslims descend upon Mecca every year for the annual Hajj. Last week, I pointed out to you that this black stone is really nothing more than an image of Satan. That's all it is. And they believe that Allah, the crescent moon, and Alat, the goddess of fertility, dwell inside that stone. They believe that there is redeeming qualities to this black stone. Al-Tirmidhi, one of their scholars, teaches that centuries ago, the stone was white. Any of you ever seen the Kaaba on TV? Have you ever seen it? Some of you have, most of you haven't. It's just a big black building that got a big thing around. It's huge. I mean, the whole thing is huge. And they just cram into that area. It looks like a huge soccer stadium built around it. And they just cram into it by the millions. I mean, people everywhere. Every year there are many people who die at the Hajj because they get trampled. They just get trampled in there. And everybody is trying to get up to touch it. And what they do is they have an organized system where you come in at a certain spot and you go out at a certain spot. And there are rows, like there's like seven different waves of approaching this thing, and you come in one way, you go out the other, but the line just keeps moving, and it's just a constant pinwheel effect. If you stood out over top of it and looked down at it, it just looks like a pinwheel moving constantly. And this scholar said that years ago that the stone was white. It is now today black because of all the people that have rotated around it through the centuries and have touched it and have kissed it. And when they did, their sins went into the stone and is no longer white. It's now black because of all the sins. In other words, the Kaaba has redeeming qualities. You touch the Kaaba and it redeems your sins. That's blasphemy, folks. Amen. Plain and simple, it's blasphemy. And I remind you that Islam is teaching that Jesus, when he comes, will perform the Hajj in order to get his sins redeemed by touching, kissing, and the caressing of that stone. You say they believe that? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Next, they believe that Jesus, when he comes, will institute Sharia law. Now, today, Islamic clerics stand in mosques and they preach about the coming Mahdi and with him the coming Jesus to lead the jihad and make the world Muslim. You see, the Bible says there's an antichrist and a false prophet. Islam says Mahdi and Jesus. The Mahdi, you take this one and lay it over this one. The Antichrist matches up with the Mahdi. The false prophet matches up with Islamic Messiah Jesus. Now, what does the Bible say about Jesus? Go over to Revelation 13. All right, now don't forget the point. Look at me. The point is, this teaches that when Jesus comes, he will institute Sharia law. You with me? All right, now, look at Revelation 13. And I stood, verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. All right, now, in biblical eschatology, this beast here is the Antichrist. All right, the Antichrist. You with me on that? All right, now, flip the turn down, look at verse number, let's see, let's look at verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a what? Lamb. And he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be what? Killed. Killed. You know what killed means? Dead. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number in his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understand that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, listen very carefully. Islam teaches that Jesus, now, we're not talking about biblical eschatology, we're talking about Islamic eschatology. Islam teaches that Jesus does not come to make the world Christian, but to make the world Islamic and eradicate Christianity. That's their philosophy. That's their teaching. That's their teaching. Riddled throughout Islamic writing is the teaching that Jesus will do 3 specific things when he comes. First of all, he will break the cross. And by this they mean he will remove, he will break all crosses from houses, churches, signs. Any place a cross is found in Islam, Jesus will destroy it. And this action will show the world that Jesus is making a clear statement regarding his disapproval of the false notion that he was ever crucified on a cross. Second, not only will he, number one, break the cross, number two, he will kill swine. That's what it says. You say, well, what's that mean? A swine, if you keep reading, is anyone who is not a Muslim, including those Jews and those Christians. He will kill the swine. Third, he will repeal, now this is what their writings say, he will repeal the jizya tax. J-I-Z-Y-A-H. J-I-Z-Y-A-H. Jizya tax. You say, what in the world is that? The jizya tax is what Muslims charge you to live in their Muslim land if you're not a Muslim. If you're not a Muslim and you live in Muslim land, you have to pay the tax. In other words, Jesus is going to repeal the jizya tax. Right now, that tax is in, that's the way it is. If you live in a Muslim land, you have to, and you're not a Muslim, you have to pay the tax. And they teach that when Jesus comes at the end times, which our Bible says is the false prophet, which our Bible says is during the tribulation period, he is going to remove the crosses, the false prophet. He is going to, secondly, kill the swine. And third, he will repeal the jizya tax. In other words, folks, the tax will be removed. And so either you become Muslim or you die. Do you see it? You've only got two options. That's what they teach. You've only got two options. Either Islam, either submit or die. And who's doing this? Now you know why I say it's just Christianity flipped upside down. And folks, please get this. 1.5 plus billion people on this planet believe that with every fiber of their being. It's preached to them every week. It is drilled into their minds, and they believe it. It's convert or die. It's submit or die. And by the way, Muslims consider our new health care plan. And by the way, I do too. They consider our new health care plan a tax. Have any of you read the health care bill? I had it sent to me. I had it downloaded. I had to erase it. It was tearing up. It was slowing down my computer. And I didn't print it off because I didn't want to waste the paper. But I spent 2 days reading it. Do you want to know who's exempt from the health care plan? Oh, you're not. Oh, by the way, you're not either. And neither are you. But Muslims are. And yet, they get free health care. They're exempt. Now, if you had said, well, the Muslims are, bingo, you're right. For you see, in their mind, this is already their land. You and I have to pay the tax to live in their land. That's the way they see it. And once millions are slaughtered, their eschatology, once millions are slaughtered, Jesus will then establish Sharia law worldwide. And then the last thing they teach about Jesus, remember, their eschatology, Jesus will live after the 7 years of end times. Jesus will then live for 40 more years. He will marry. He will have children and then die. Yeah, that's what they believe. So I don't know if I believe that. Ask them. Ask them. Now, can you see how this whole eschatology is upside down? I mean, instead of Jesus coming to reign as King and Messiah over all the earth from Jerusalem, they have Jesus coming to convert the world to Islam or kill those who do not convert. Instead of coming to save and deliver Christians and Jews and reestablish Israel, they have Jesus coming to slaughter them. And so there. So go back to Matthew now, and I'm done. Here's Jesus 2,000 years ago, and he's got a group of Jews in front of him. And he says, look, folks, let me talk to you about the tribulation period. Let me talk to you about the end times. Let me talk to you about when I'm, just before I return. When they come and say, Jesus is in the desert, don't believe it. It's not this Jesus. It's this one. That's what he's saying. Don't believe it. Because here's the Jews. Think about it. Just think about it, folks. Here's the Jews. And man, for 7 years, it's been nothing but persecution. And I mean, look at the world today. The whole world has their guns turned towards them today. Even the United States of America is not looking. And boy, what are they going to do? And all of a sudden the church is gone. And all of a sudden the Antichrist rises. And all of a sudden God looks down and he goes, let me take those shades off your eyes. Romans 9, 10, and 11. Are you with me? They're blinded right now. As a nation, not as individuals, but as a nation, they can't. Man, I've been over there 12 times. Let me tell you, they can't see it. They cannot see it. They got religion everywhere. And they don't even believe in God. You ask the average Jew, do you believe in God? Nah. Do you believe in Jesus? No. But during the tribulation period, when it is tribulation, God will say, let me take those blinders off of you. There you go. And then all of a sudden, this Jesus shows up. And the word gets around and says, hey, guess who's down in the desert? Messiah Jesus. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus warned, and he said, when you hear that, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Because 2,000 years ago, our Savior knew. He knew. I don't know about y'all, but that makes perfect sense to me. That just makes perfect sense to me. All right. Next week, I may do it Sunday night. I don't know. May do it Sunday night. It depends. If you're here, I might do it Sunday night. No, you'll be here. I know you will. But I got to do what the Lord leads me to do. If it were up to me, I preach on this every service. But next Sunday night, or next Wednesday night, I'm gonna show you what they say about Revelation 19. Revelation 19 is when the real Jesus comes. What do they say about the real Jesus when he comes? You ain't gonna believe it. I'll give you a little clue. The real Jesus is killed. Yeah. Do you want to know who kills him? Their Jesus. Yeah. I kid you not. The real Jesus comes at the return, Revelation 19, and their false Jesus is the one who kills him. It's just Christianity flipped upside down.